Time to welcome back Steve Barnes, who is the Hong Kong visa geezer. How are you?
Hello, Phil.
Jolly good, Steve. I know you've been doing off on your travels, so it's nice to see you back in the big room. I've got a couple of emails I want to start with.
Yeah.
And they seem coincidentally to be a bit sort of F&B related. So here we go. I'm trying to apply, says this bloke. I'm trying to apply for a working visa for a non-local graduate. Him, I guess. My course meets all the criteria required by the Immigration Department, except the course is not regarded as a locally accredited local programme. Though the course is accredited by the Hong Kong Council for Accreditation and Vocational Qualifications, can you please advise me whether there's any possibility of me gaining a working visa under the arrangement for non-local graduates? Otherwise, I need to leave once my student visa expires.
Okay, so...
That will mean something to you, won't it?
It does, it does. Now, the Immigration Arrangements for Non-Local Graduates is a programme that was introduced many, many years ago to avail graduates of Hong Kong universities. And it's important to note that Hong Kong universities with at least a degree... be it either a bachelor's degree or a postgraduate degree. And if that degree is actually awarded by a Hong Kong registered tertiary education institute, then it means at the end of your student visa, just in the immediate wake of you having graduated, you can go to the immigration department and convert your student visa into a no-questions-asked working visa for 1 year as a fresh graduate under the immigration arrangements for non-local graduates.
Right.
Now, the condition precedent is that it's a degree programme, not the vocational programme. So
what he says in the email is pretty much a fait accompli.
Correct, it's a fait accompli. They don't qualify.
There's nothing else that can be done.
No.
Get a degree, which doesn't really help, does it?
Nothing.
That's a shame,
degree.
Because a lot of the trade stuff isn't degree, is it? A lot of the things like this, wine, the food.
Well, it's vocational, and essentially to qualify under the immigration arrangements for non-local graduates, you need to be essentially a professional calibre type person, and that means a university degree, not vocational qualifications, and this is a vocational qualification by all accounts.
All right, if there's anything he's left out, do write on back in. Morningbrew@rthk.hk. The other one's a bit chefy, I suppose. This fellow says, I have an question for him. With the recent chastising of the immigration department received... Does that spell further difficulties for restaurant operators bringing in much-needed talent? This fellow is a restaurant operator.
Well, what he's referring to there when he talks about chastising is the Audit Commission report, which was published on the 5th of November, I think it was, and it was made public last week. This is where the Audit Commission did an audit of the Immigration Department in the sections related to talents, entrepreneurs, professionals, investors, and foreign domestic helpers, in actual fact. And they looked at the performance of the Immigration Department between 2006 and 2015,
right,
essentially to ensure that immigration policy or government policy as regards being able to attract and retain foreign national talents, entrepreneurs and professionals was being properly implemented, in fact. And it's unfortunate the Immigration Department came up lacking in a number of areas. And
what kind of areas?
There were issues in relation to the admission scheme for mainland talents and professionals and also the immigration arrangements for non-local graduates, where... the quality of the documentation that was being submitted in support of applications was potentially in doubt. That is, only photocopies were being submitted rather than properly constituted formal copies or authentication being educated.
All the time you've mentioned this before, you've made it very clear that they put the mainland talent thing as a completely separate entity. Now, how come it's now all being
chucked together. It's just because of the essential review of the operational practices.
But it seems that
across
way
those
that
departments.
Somebody's paying for somebody else's, you know, inaccuracies, should we say.
Yeah, I mean, there were some difficulties in terms of the guidelines that were promoted internal to the immigration department. So frontline officers were not properly implementing policy as been handed down from them. And there were some current concerns, especially in relation to immigration arrangements for non-local graduates, as we've just discussed, who a large number of them are mainland Chinese applicants.
This is how it reads, Stephen. Tell me if I'm wrong. It reads that they've been messing it up far more than they should, but other guys have got to pay the price. The mainland schemes are the cause of other guys paying the price.
I wouldn't say other guys paying the price. I think it's just the case that that particular unit in the Immigration Department weren't properly guided internally as to what they should be doing. But having said that, you know, the audit found instances of the Immigration Department really not doing what they should have been doing. And say, for example, there was a particular instance on a case that came up on audit where the Immigration Department approved an application under the immigration arrangements for non-local graduates where the salary in question was only 9,000 Hong Kong dollars, which is clearly not at a level that is commensurate with income that's earned by graduates of that sort of ilk and calibre.
According to the chief executive, that's enough for a family to feed himself on for a whole month, according to yesterday's news.
Well, it may well be, yeah. So there's, you know, issues like that. There was issues about the amount of time it was taking, say, for example, the business investment visa as an entrepreneur to be finalised. It's always taking 4 to 6 months. The Immigration Department's policy is that they should be able to finalise 90% of applications within 4 weeks of receipt of all the documents, meaning that only 10% of cases should be subject to some sort of ongoing correspondence or follow-up to allow the examining office to have everything in hand so they can give full and due consideration to an application.
Yeah.
However, because normally applicants, you know, rightly or wrongly, have usually misset expectations about how long these things take to process the amount of documents required to give effect to an application and what the Immigration Department have to do when they're actually doing their work. Everyone seems to have this sense that cases can get approved really quickly, or that
that's very much in the news as well right now.
Or they have the sense that, you know, special circumstances should prevail, so their application should be expedited. And what this has meant is that operationally and practically, the Immigration Department were very often prepared to receive a set of papers that started off the application, understanding that not everything that they needed to give effect to the application was there in one place, and then would, through their, in a sense, good grace, would engage in correspondence after the fact to allow the missing documents to come in, and then, and only then, would the 4 weeks time frame start kicking
in. So they need to tighten up there. They need to focus their operation.
Well, they do, but by the same token, conversations with other immigration officers, frontline immigration officers, in the wake of the audit report, is that the easy days are over now. It used to be you could file applications on a skeleton basis, and the Immigration Department would play that game. Now they're not prepared to
do
that.
What do you mean by skeleton?
What it means is that when you file your application, essentially everything that the Immigration Department need to give full and due consideration to their application should be in the bundle at the point of submission, not partially submitted.
Well, so it should. I mean, every time we've applied for overseas stuff, they ask for it there and then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the Immigration Department have been very flexible historically, and it's come back to haunt them.
Right. So you know what, I mean, my angle here is, you know what people are going to say about certain stuff. We jump to a lot of conclusions these days. One of them could highly likely be here. Because you've been so busy fluffing the mainland, the whole thing's gone to pot. Whether you agree or not, that's what people might say.
I see where you're going with that, but no, it's not particularly that, because the Audit Commission was quite precise in terms of the recommendations that they've made, all of which have been accepted by government, by the way, and so the Immigration Department is duty-bound to change. So it's going to get tougher.
What will we see? I saw this on your website. He's written, battening down the hatches, why the Hong Kong Immigration Department are about to get really tough on visa applicants.
Well, they're essentially now going to not sort of pander to the misset expectations of applicants about how long things are going to take and the essential flexibility that they've previously exhibited.
Like,
now what they're saying is, when you file your application, have everything in that application that you need.
But that sounds totally fair.
I agree completely.
I applied for an Aussie visa once and they wanted everything. And there we are. Do it or go away.
And they won't even take your application off you if, on first assessment, everything that they need to give full due consideration to it is there in one place. Immigration Department here have been very flexible. It's come back to haunt.
So unfortunately, they're trying. I see what's happening now. They're trying to do something, you know, but it hasn't worked.
Exactly.
But I mean, I think it is it not a world standard? You submit your papers or you don't.
Yes, it is.
So who's likely to pay the price on this one?
Applicants.
People in general?
Yeah, applicants. They just have to, they've got to set their expectations about how long it's going to take, prepare in advance, you know, 60 to 90 days prior than that which they might otherwise have done. Just realise that if the Immigration Department are going to do their duty, it's going to take a particular amount of time, and it's going to follow a particular process, and they need to just go through that process officially stated.
See, applicants shouldn't pay the price here, because it sounds like these guys are going to make their wheels greasier so they can work quicker, which means they can process more people, in theory.
Well, they've got these performance targets to meet, right? Which is 90% of all cases have to be completed within 4 weeks upon due of receipt of all the documents. The thing behind that is the expectations that all the documents are submitted when you first start the application. Mm. And now, instead of it being 90% of the cases not being complete at the point of submission, and then 90% of cases needing to engage in correspondence, the Immigration Department are going to flip that around so that they can meet their performance requirements.
Why do people tend, in general, to have an incomplete portfolio? Do they forget?
Misset expectations.
Okay.
Misset expectations. People just don't understand how long these things generally take and the amount of work that goes into preparing the papers. And then once it's filed, the processes the Immigration Department follow in order to determine yes or no to the application. It just takes longer than people expect. And everybody wants to do it tomorrow because they've made the decision yesterday, right?
It sounds better in a way, because if you go through all the headache of getting everything in the box to start with, then you don't have millions of phone calls and emails and stuff to deal with.
Absolutely.
I got a PS from our fellow asking about his educational thing. He said it's a BSc. It's a bachelor.
Depends which university. Is he getting it from SCAT, I think it's called, the Savannah Carter Biology
Goodness
Technology
knows what.
Design or something. If it's accredited and it's a BSc program and it's accredited, the institution is accredited institution for the purposes of the policy, then he should be able to qualify under the immigration arrangement on local graduate. So I'd suggest he take it up with the university that's awarding the degree to him and get clarification from whether they're accredited or not, whether or not on the list. They will know whether they're on the list or not. If they're not on the list, it doesn't stand a chance.
Good. So there is a possible starting block here. So if the Immigration Department... By the way, anything for Steve. We've got about 5 more minutes. morningbrew@rthk.hk. You can see where we are. Simple, simple stuff that might be really giving you a hard day. Just write on in. Have they cleaned up house in any other ways as a knock-on from this?
Well, yeah. I mean, we don't do this work, so I'm not familiar with the processes, but audit found that the section dealing with foreign domestic helpers were... through their standard practices, potentially encouraging connivance between foreign domestic helper employment agencies and foreign domestic helpers themselves to essentially terminate their employments early or have their employments terminated early so that they could receive a severance payment and enjoy in-country... processing of the next application, which is a privilege that they give to people who have been terminated.
The fundamental nastiness about people's opinion of foreign domestic helpers in this town is there's an assumption that they're all crooked. You hear all of these, we're on the committee of employers against, all of these, they assume that all these domestic helpers are bent. And it's really quite shameful to hear it. We hear it on the radio all the time.
Yeah, I think that's right. When you've got a population that's as big as the foreign domestic helper population, who don't have much of a voice, all things considered, it's easy just to point fingers and, make everybody with the same brush, I guess.
You know, when you're here earning money for whatever reason, most people are not going to mess around, are they? They want to earn a buck and send it home. Done deal. And also, they've been talking about it on Backchat and stuff this week. Foreign domestic helpers, that's different. How long is it going to be different when people have lived here for 7 years or whatever? It's not your area,
yeah,
I know.
That's right.
But it's just small Hong Kong.
Another thing that came up in audit is the immigration now duty bound to implement it is a very close assessment as to what is market rate for particular jobs that are being claimed.
Oh, that was what it was. It was standard working hours.
Right, that was it.
Yeah. Okay. Go on, market rate.
Yeah, no, so the Immigration Department were audited on whether or not they were looking to see whether compensation for a particular role is generally broadly commensurate with market rates. And we're looking at the nature and the quality of the qualifications that people had to see whether they're able to qualify under the admission scheme for male and talents and professionals and also the immigration arrangements for non-local graduates. But in essence, the Immigration Department are now going to focus very, very squarely on what people are getting paid, whether there's been justification for the non-local employment. Have they tested the labour market previously by trying to find somebody local, and what do those candidates look like?
That's what I want to ask you about this one. Again, other countries do the same. Can you prove that this your skills are beyond somebody else in the community already? Is that kind of a redundant thing to say? Because if somebody wants to employ you, it's not a case of tendering out your skill. It's because this person's special and they will make my business better.
Exactly. And that's the argument that goes into 99% of all the applications.
That's the
that
chefy one as well, isn't it?
That's what you're left with, right? But by the same token, the Immigration Department are duty-bound to do what they need to do to protect local jobs. And rather than just willy-nilly accepting what employers and applicants have been saying in relation to the availability of local talent. Yeah. Now, proof of labour market testing is going to be an important part of the consideration process.
I just wonder if there's a more specific way to do it, because saying, of course there's somebody in the community here who's as good as or better, or if you want to use those words, than you. It's not like you've got somebody who's like from another planet who's just in a different league. It's like, I want to employ this chef. He's brilliant. I don't care if, Is it the language they use that's
well, wrong? Well, language is part of it in terms of how you demonstrate that you've looked for these skills locally and, you know, have you undertaken an honest search for local talent. It's a function also of the experience and qualifications of the individual candidate, what market rate is for the compensation for the role that they're, you know, being slated for and what's actually being offered to them. And, you know, what the local staffing profile is of the rest of the business. Can it be justified, all things considered, that this foreigner be approved to do this work rather than giving somebody from within the local community.
Nice one. We've got through a lot today. Thanks for the emails. I hope he's helped. If he hasn't, write to me back and I'll pass them on to him. Steve, lovely to talk to you.